I want to talk this morning on this title, You've Got to Serve Before You Sit. You've got to serve before you sit. The Lord teaches us today that the greatest honor that we have is to serve. We don't think that way. We tend to think that the ones at table who are being served are getting the honor, but the Lord is teaching us that honors come to those who serve in His kingdom. And so today, perhaps a meditation on three basic teachings on honor in God's kingdom. Honor in God's kingdom. You got to serve before you sit. One day, the Lord's going to bring us up to glory, and He's going to say, now it's my turn. You have a seat now, and I'm going to prepare to wait on you. Praise the Lord. But before that day, you got to serve before you sit. So let's again look at three basic teachings on honor in God's kingdom. By the way, just so you know where I'm going with this, the three teachings are these. The person who honors. Likewise, the paradox of honor. And finally, the prescription for honor. So first of all, the person who honors. In God's kingdom, we are invited to His great feast. You heard today this beautiful reading from Hebrews, where the Lord said, you know, you haven't come to Mount Sinai with those fearsome trumpet blasts and flashes of fire and thunder and lightning, so that people were cringing in fear, saying, don't even let Him talk to us anymore. We cannot endure even His voice. No, no, says the Lord. Now by the grace of Jesus, you draw near to the heavenly Jerusalem, to angels in festival gathering, to a great feast that is prepared by God for those who will accept His love. So the Lord has a feast. The Lord has a banquet that we've been invited to. And one of the great images, of course, of the banquet is the wedding feast. Now the reason I point out the wedding feast is that we modern Americans have become very casual about almost everything. We almost never get dressed up. We almost never observe formalities anymore. We've gotten very casual. But one exception in our culture that is still sort of left is the wedding. Most of us still get dressed up to go to a wedding. And at the wedding banquet, there are many formalities observed. There's a head table where the wedding party is seated. And then you don't just usually in most weddings walk on in and just choose your seat and sit down. You go to the table and you give your name and you are directed to where you will be seated. Amen? And those who have prepared weddings know they work very carefully to make sure that certain folks sit together and certain folks don't sit together, and, well, you know. When you go to a wedding, it is the host of the wedding who assigns the place where you're seated. And this is something that we observe in our culture, even to this day. Although we become very informal, and we don't like in American culture any speaking about rank or privilege, and nevertheless, at a wedding, the host indicates where we are to be seated. Well, guess what? In Jesus' wedding feast, the same thing is true. Jesus has a place for all of us in His wedding feast. He has a designated place for us to be seated and a designated role for us to play. Now, I say this because, and again, in America, we tend to be very autonomous. And in fact, one of the beauties of this country is that you can come to this country, and I don't care whether you were born poor or born rich, whether you had privilege or you didn't, if you want to work hard in this country, more often than not, you can kind of name your prize and begin to move toward it. And you, if you want to work hard, you can largely get it. That's what we call the autonomous self. And there's a beauty about that in this country, that we are able to break through and kind of find our own place at the table, by gosh, and not be told by any other human being, you can't sit here, you got to sit over there. We have rejected that, and we have a very open culture that is, again, if you're willing to work hard, an awful lot is available to you. All right. So there's a beauty about that in terms of how we relate to each other. But brothers and sisters, be very careful. When it comes to God, we should not have this autonomous self. I walk into God's kingdom and I find my own place and I just choose my seat and I sit down. That is not the way God's kingdom works, because remember, we may do that for each other, but He's God. Amen? And God has a place for all of us. The person who honors is God Himself. The person who has a place for all of us is God. And we need to learn to be very open, to listen to God. God, where is my place at the table in your kingdom? What gifts have you given me that you expect me to use? What, if you will, role or position do I have in your kingdom? Part of the journey that I am on is to discover who is the Charles Pope that God made me to be, and what does he have for me to do? And all of you have that same obligation to listen to God and say, what is my place at the table in your kingdom? Where have you asked me to be seated? And what have you asked me to do? Brothers and sisters, greatest honor that God bestows on us is to become the gift of our very self. To discover who He has made us to be, find out who that is, and to become that individual. My patron saint is St. Charles Borromeo. But God's already got a St. Charles Borromeo. He needs a St. Charles Pope, all right? He needs for me to discover what he's asked me to do. And so we may look to holy men and women and try to imitate their example. But the Lord has something very precious, very special, and very unique for you to do. So we look to others for example. But the real discovery is to discover who God made you to be. That's the greatest honor that he bestows on you, to let you become the gift of your very self. Not as others have named you, not as others have told you to be, but as he has made you to be. Let me read to you a couple quotes from Scripture so you get a sense of this. At the Last Supper, just hours before he was to begin his passion, he was at table with his apostles. And do you know that just before the Lord, Judas has already gone out to betray him? And do you know what happened at that table? A debate broke out among them about which one of them was the greatest. Are you praying with me, church? I have the best honor. I should be seated there. I'm the most powerful. I'm the most important. I'm the most gifted. And the Lord said, stop, stop. And he said this, I assign you, as my Father assigned me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. I have assigned each of you a place, says the Lord. Peter was to be the head of the apostles, but he has Peter. He also needs John to be John. He needs James to be James. He needs everyone to be as he's called them to be, because the greatest honor is not to be where Peter is, or John is. The greatest honor is to be where I'm supposed to be. It is the Lord who gives me this place, and my greatest honor is to become the Charles Pope that God made me to be. Are you praying with me, church? Be very careful. You know, I went to 12-step meetings for many years. I went to Al-Anon meetings because, you know, when you go to Al-Anon meetings, someone that you love is a drinker, and you need to try to stay sane. One of the sayings we always had there was, to compare is to despair. You start comparing, how come I'm not like so-and-so? How come they're there and how come I'm over here? How come this? How come that? Why are they there and how come I can't do that? And I want to be like them. I want to be that tall or that handsome or that pretty, or I want straight hair, or I want curly hair, or I want something I don't have. Oh, church, to compare is to despair. There is no one else on this planet that reflects God's glory like you do. So the honor that God gives you is to become your very self. Be very careful. All this comparing and contrasting and this frustration, how come you get to do that and I don't get to do it, and all of those sorts of things. At the end of the day, your greatest dignity and your serenity is going to be discovering the man that God made you to be, or the woman that God made you to be, and to become your very self. So again, the first teaching about honor is that God has bestowed upon you an honor that nobody else can have. There's a place at the table that's just for you, and nobody else can take it. There's a task that you have that nobody else can do. Nobody can praise God like you. Nobody can adore Him like you do. You are unique. You are unrepeatable. Your honor is not compared to some other human being. Your honor is given from God and God alone. Are you praying with me? We get all worked up about position and who's got more money, you know, big house, big car, big hair. We get all worked up about that kind of stuff instead of just discovering who I'm supposed to be from God. Amen? Another text, just to give you this, remember James and John, they wanted a special place of power. Yes, they did. And they came to Jesus and said, just arrange that we sit at the two places of honor, one at your right and the other at your left. And the Lord said, look, that's not for me to give. Listen to what he says. To sit at my right or my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. All right, so again, if there are places of honor or whatever in the kingdom, they're already assigned. But let the Lord show you where He has for you. In my life, I've discovered there are some things He's given me to do. There are some things I'm good at. There are some things I'm not good at. There are some doors that are open to me. There are other doors that are not open to me. But thank you, Lord. Thank you. For what you've given me, I say thank you, Lord. Let me not compare myself so that I fall into despair. How come some people have more power, or some people have more money, or some people have more luck, or some people have more access, or some people are more handsome, or, no. Stop it. See? Don't do that. Your honor comes from God and God alone. So the first teaching on honor is the person who honors. That belongs to God, and thank God it does. Because otherwise we're fighting and scrapping for these places of honor that we decide, and all of our changing norms and all of this kind of stuff. You know, narrow ties are in, now I got to go buy wide ties, and straight hair's in, now we got to put perms in, and all that stuff. You get on the treadmill and you're all over God's green acre. Why not just listen to God and be the man or the woman that God called you to be? All right, the second teaching on honor. The paradox of honors. The Lord was noticing how they were all looking for the stuff that the world looks to. They were looking for places high up on the table. You know, the places where all the cameras are aimed, where the glitterati sit, where the powerful, where the established, where up close near the front. That's where they were all angling to get. And the Lord says, you better be careful. Remember, there's a host, and he decides where you're seated. You don't want to get embarrassed, so he says, find out where the host wants you to be seated. But that's just advice we've already had. But the Lord says, you know, he's noticing what impresses us. What impresses us? He says, you know, again, we've already talked about it, but what tends to impress us in this planet are things like bling and bucks and beauty and brawn. Power, you know, big house, big hair, big entourage, big cars. Now go with me, if you will, to a worldly banquet. go with me to a banquet where we're going to, let's just say it's, I don't know, some big thing in Hollywood. You got tickets to go to this thing in Hollywood, and you brought your camera with you too, because you know you're going to see some celebs. You're going to see some fancy people who have all the stuff going on. All the, you can see the red rug is all rolled out, and up roll the limos, and outstep all the glitterati, all those famous people, all the fancy people. You know, again, the big hair and the big cars and the big entourage, and all the cameras are going, and ooh, you're impressed, aren't you? Are you impressed? Hallelujah, you know? And ooh, look, there's so-and-so. Click, 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 you know? And all the cameras start flashing. And then they all move on in into hall. Up near the front are all the really popular people. And you're looking up at that head table. Ooh, look, there's so-and-so. She was great in that movie. And maybe there's a couple politicians or other famous people. They're all there. Click, click, click. You're holding your camera up. Cell phones are all up. You got it, right? Now, God walks into the same feast. The Lord Jesus. Now, he brought his camera too. Where do you suppose he's aiming his camera? See? Is it up at the head table? Or is he impressed? He sees real honor and he sees real heroes and people really impressing him. Is that necessarily where he's looking? So you see, I suspect that if the Lord's going to start holding up his camera and taking pictures, will he aim at the head of the table or the foot of the table? I want to suggest where he's going to aim his camera isn't at the table at all. It's going to be those who are waiting the tables. He's going to run into the kitchen and say, wow, look at this. Click, click, click. He sees people cooking food and doing dishes, doing the dirty work and doing the preparation and that. Oh, the Lord's got his camera going now. Look at this. Jesus is holding up his cell phone camera and getting pictures of all those waiting on tables. And he steps, he asks someone, hey, take a picture of me and this waitress. See? He runs into the kitchen and he says, hey, look at this, man. This guy's doing dishes. Look at this. It's great. Give me your autograph right now. Now, I'm being a little silly, but I want to just say, the Lord, there's a paradox about honor in the heavenly kingdom. We think of honor in terms of the glitterati, the fancy clothes, the rich, the powerful, the famous, and I don't get anything against any of those folks. But the Lord says the greatest honor isn't to be served, it is to serve. Let me give you some scriptures just to show you what I'm getting at. From Mark chapter 10, the Lord says this, whoever wants to be greatest among you must become the servant, even the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, church, the Lord was willing to do the dirty work. He did the laundry. He did the dishes. He gave his own life and shed his own blood. Greatest in the kingdom is not the one who is served, but the one who serves. Likewise, in Luke 22, the Lord says, let the greatest among you be like the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. Who do you think is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The Lord says, you think it's the one who sits at the table, but I have come among you as one who is serving the table. The Lord is the greatest among us, amen? And what does he do? Does he sit at the table? Or does he serve the table? He serves the meal. Are you praying with me, church? See, this is paradoxical. Now, the word paradox means something that is contrary to the usual way of thinking. And the Lord goes on to say in Psalm 138, the Lord sits high, yet he looks low, and he looks upon the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. So where is the Lord's eye drawn? As he sits high and looks down upon this planet, where is his eye drawn? To the lowly, to the servants, to those who often have to do the dirty work. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, St. Paul writes, God has chosen the foolish and low-born things of the world to shame the worldly wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose those things that are lowly in this world and the despised, those things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So again, this is paradoxical. We look to the powerful, we look to the glamorous, we look to the wealthy and so on. But the Lord looks to the lowly. They have the greatest honor in his kingdom. James chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen, my brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of his kingdom? Luke chapter 13, the Lord says, many who are last shall be first. Mother Mary said in Luke chapter 1, the Lord has cast down the mighty from their thrones and raised up the lowly. So honor in the kingdom is about lowliness, it's about service, it's about care. It's not about being at the table and being served, it is about serving. And being willing to go to the lowliest place. And so the Lord said today that whoever wants to exalt themselves will be humbled, but whoever will humble themselves, they will be exalted in my kingdom. And so this, if you will, paradox of honor. We're trained to think of honors and so on in worldly ways, but the Lord says something very paradoxical. I want you to understand that the one who gets my eye is the one who is willing to serve. Now, this is not some sort of class warfare that the Lord is, oh, all the rich are bad and all the poor are great. Because all of us have the capacity to serve and to serve in the most lowly of ways. And the Lord says, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're living well or struggling, whether you have lots of gifts or you're very humble and struggling, whatever you are, you have the capacity to serve. And that is your greatness. Not your money, not your power, not your good looks. None of those things. What gives you honor in my kingdom is your willingness and your capacity to serve. And that leads us then to the third and final point, the prescription for honors, the prescription. The Lord says that when you are invited, go take the lowest place. And so when the host comes to you, he may say, my friend, move up to a higher position. And he says, then he tells us to be willing to serve in the most humble of ways. You know, it's easy for us to serve someone who's a great dignitary. We think it might get us access. We might serve or give a banquet for friends who can help us and repay us and remember us when we're in trouble. But the Lord says, listen, the greatest form of service is to serve those who can't repay you. He says, so when you hold a banquet, in other words, when you serve, invite the crippled, serve the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because of their inability to repay you, because my Father pays a lot better than this world on anything you do. Are you praying with me, church? And so the Lord says, look, you want to be great? You want honors? Be willing to serve, and especially be willing to serve when you don't get anything out of it. When you're not going to get repaid by this world, look for opportunities to, quote, go to the lowest place, at least what this world calls the lowest place. Give anonymously, when no one will write you the congratulatory letter. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when you give alms. Don't give and blow a trumpet for honors, but give and be humble. Be and count yourself worthy, if you will, only by God's grace to give to those who can't repay you and to say, Lord, how is it that they have nothing and I have so many things? Lord, all I can say is thank you for what you've given me and help me to be generous. And so again, note that the greatest honor, the most honorable thing that we can do is to serve, and especially to serve in the most lowly of ways. If I could offer you a final thought that isn't in my notes, but it just occurs to me. Who do you look to in your life as having the greatest honor? And again, we tend, because if we live in the flesh and we live in the world, we tend to look to, you know, certain people who are famous that we might know, or we know someone who knows someone who's famous, and we tend to think like that. But has it ever occurred to you that some of the most famous people in God's kingdom are those who do the lowliest things to take care of you? It's too easy for us, for example, when we go to a restaurant and maybe the waitress is burdened, she's trying to serve a lot of tables and she doesn't come quick enough, and we can get anxious and temperamental and we're upset because the order doesn't come exactly at the time and so on. But, you know, really, honestly, we ought to start, even if the service isn't perfect, just by saying, here is one of the most honorable people in my life right now because they are serving me, they're taking care of me. I ought to give them honor and respect, because the greatest in God's kingdom is not the one at the table, me. The greatest is the one who is serving the table. I don't know if any of you have ever had to be a waiter or a waitress. My brother did for years, and he said, man, that's tough work, bussing tables and, oh my gosh. You know, it's hard, hard work. An awful lot of people take good care of us. And they may not do it perfectly. But what an incredible change for us to start thinking they are the ones who are most honorable in God's eyes. And I should look up to those who serve me and take care of me. And I want to just say as a testimony, as a priest, I have an awful lot of people that take good care of me. All of you, the rectory staff, people who take care of me. And you know, to learn to look up to them and to esteem them and to hold them in great honor, because they are more honorable than I, because they serve and I receive. And likewise, how many of you came today on roads that you did not pave, but somebody did the dirty work to pave those roads and tear them up and run the jackhammer in the heat of a 95-degree day, or do whatever it took to make sure the electricity gets to your house? Someone's running that power plant now, and they're having to sit there in a hot, sweaty place while we're able to be with God today. I tell you, there are folks even now, invisible to us, who are serving us, who are taking care of us, and it's so easy for us to grumble and to complain when things aren't going perfectly. But maybe we should start and say, what an amazingly wonderful honor that these people, I should hold them in high esteem. And if I can help them to serve better, I'll do that. I try to serve you as your pastor, and I do not do it perfectly, and all of you will tell me that. But I will simply say, I am grateful when you help me to try to serve you better. And so it is that for all who serve us, we may be able to help them to serve better. But at the end of the day, shouldn't we start with holding them in honor and respect? Because they are in the more honorable position as those who serve rather than we who are served. To look up to them rather than to look down on them and say, you didn't do it right. But to look up to them and say, and hold them in the highest honor, and say, I respect you, I esteem you, and I love you. And so it is today. These readings are dripping in paradox, aren't they? So I simply will conclude by reminding you, we talked today about three things, three teachings on honor. The person who honors, remember, whatever honor you have, the greatest honor is to be the man or the woman that God calls you to be. Secondly, the paradox of honors. What the world often honors, God isn't all that interested in. God says, those who serve, they catch my eye. The lowly, those who are willing to do the hard work and to serve. And then finally, the prescription then. If you want honor in my kingdom, be willing to serve, even when you can't get repaid for it, especially when you can't get repaid for it. I promise you, says the Lord, this is what it is to have the highest honors in my kingdom. Not to have the biggest house or the biggest income or any of that stuff you get worked up about. The Lord says, you want honor in my kingdom? Serve, serve. I'll finally conclude with just a reminder from Mark chapter 10. The greatest among you, the greatest among you, the greatest among you is the servant. And whoever would be first among you must learn to be the slave of all. We're going to be very surprised in heaven who have the highest places. We're going to be very surprised. An awful lot of people we never heard of or never met, but who did the hard work and served us. I simply say, for all of us, that's the lesson to learn. The way to higher places is to go to the lowest place and let the Lord finally say, you, come up higher. I've got a place for you of great honor in my kingdom because you are willing to go to the lowest place. Now come up to the highest place. You gotta serve before you sit. Amen.